Springfield Christian Family is an Ezekiel 47 church. In meaning that the Bible says that in Ezekiel's vision of the temple, the water flowed out of the temple and it faced eastward. It went east. And the further it went east, the deeper it got. The euphemism for the word east in the Bible is the people that are away from God. East represents the world. And you're going to be a faith community that faces the world, but not afraid of the world. It's going to get deeper as you go. The grace of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the Spirit of God, everything, the gifts of God on your life are going to get deeper the further you go into the east. Now, that doesn't mean being, you know, of the world. It doesn't mean being compromised. It means that you are called to take the depth of the presence of God to the community. As you build buildings and schools and community centers, I really saw it in my spirit in worship. This is an Ezekiel 47 expression to the world. That the deeper you faced east, and then if you keep reading through Ezekiel 47, this is what it says. It says that that river of depth brings healing and life everywhere it goes. And so as we, as a community, look out to the east, you bring healing and wholeness. You don't have to fear the world. You can transform it. And so you can test that word, but I truly believe that it is an Ezekiel 47 moment. It might be a season of time. It might be an era. It might be even part of your identity into the future. But the world will know where the depth comes from. And that's where you, everyone together, carries that deep presence of God. Is that all good? All right. Well, bless you with that. Take that. Receive it however way you want to. Well, let's talk about something. There's this phrase that I once heard and I didn't like it, so I changed it. And they said, in between seasons, it's hell in the hallway. But that's only hell in the hallway if you don't know where you're going. Hope in the hallway. It's that holding season and transition of going, I'm here, but God, you've got me going somewhere else. And I would like to propose to you that there is always hope in the hallway. That how we posture our lives and what we focus on allows our whole soul realm to know something good is coming. There's an old game that we used to play as kids and potentially even as adults called Truth or Dare. It's truth or dare. May I suggest to you that in the kingdom, it's truth and dare. Because when we live in God's truth, it's daring. It takes us out of our comfort zones. It takes us to places and spaces where we go, God, really? That's the truth. That's where you want me to go. That's who you want me to be. That's what you're decluttering out of my life. Do you know that the word decide or decision comes from the word to cut away? It means that we make decisions not for more stuff, but actually to cut away things that are inferior to what God's got for us. So in the 1980s, there was a rat plague in New York. And I don't like having bugs in my house, let alone rat plagues running down the street. But there was a rat plague in New York. And they came and brought in all the exterminators of the city and they'd kill all the rats and then they'd get rid of them and more rats would come. And they'd do exactly the same thing. And then more rats would come. You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. They did it again. They killed, they exterminated the rats and they all came back. More rats came, not the same ones because they didn't resurrect. But different ones. Until someone in the sanitation department said, maybe we should just get rid of all the garbage on the streets. We can't just keep dealing with rats in our calling and in our purpose and what God asks us to do. Otherwise, all we do is keep getting rid of rats and just more come. When we're called to change the world and transform the community around us, we can't just think about the rats that we always see and be negative and cynical and we're not filled with enough hope to get rid of the garbage. Rather than deal with rats, can we shift our perspective this morning and get rid of the garbage and deal with the cultural garbage rather than the result of the rats running around? And I love the baby dedications. Dedications are awesome. Because when we get rid of the garbage, we get rid of rats for them. Yeah. Our next generation should not be fighting and dealing with the garbage that we were destined to get rid of. Just like they shouldn't fight the Goliaths we were meant to kill. They'll have their own journey and giants to walk through. There's no point fighting ours as well. So, truth and dare. Are you ready to listen to God's truth and be daring enough to get rid of the garbage? Is that all good? All right, let's go to the next slide. In John 5, this is what it says. After this, there was a feast of the Jews and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. This is a beautiful space as such, yet it's filled with sick people, broken people, and there's porches and there's Middle Eastern heat with sick people that can't move. Have you ever smelt an odor in your house and cannot find where it's coming from? I once picked up a click and collect from Coles, and what I didn't know was that in the back, in the boot, we put the bags in, but in the boot, there was a pack of chicken thighs that had somehow bounced out of the bag. I'd taken the bags in, because that's what good husbands do, take the bags in, forgetting that there was chicken thigh in a little brown packet sitting at the back, hidden just behind a couple of things. Like bounced out. About 4 days later, I'm like, there's something in the car and I cannot find it. I'm blaming the kids. Do you guys throw a banana back here? Like, what? Where's your lunchbox? This is disgusting. We're going, what is going on? So we're looking, I'm looking, I can't find anything. And I will say, I have a decently clean car. But I couldn't find anything. I'm looking under the chairs. I'm looking under everything. I can't find anything. I open the boot and there it hits me. The heat, everything. And that was just one. It permeated. I had to leave the doors open in the garage. I had to fume it. Like, you're just spraying everything. Glen 20-ing, just everything. Right? It took like 2-3 days to just breathe easy again. So here's this juxtaposition of faith. You've got a beautiful setting with broken people in it. And it smells weird. Because you're walking in expecting with your eye senses looking at something beautiful, yet the ever-present stench is making you want to heave. There are juxtapositions in faith sometimes that we just have to deal with. That it's almost contradictory to the experience and the circumstance that we're in. When I was in Africa once, I remember standing at this big intersection and they had these massive screens selling the nicest cars. And yet underneath it, the poor and the broken were right under it living homeless. It's weird. It doesn't, you can't marry those two worlds together. And that's what Jesus is walking into in this moment, is that it's beautiful but broken. And yet somehow we're the solution. But in order to understand John 5, you've got to understand something else in part of their history. Let's go to the next slide over. Is our faith journey is filled with juxtapositions that we need to navigate and challenge, just like this story. Next slide. In Esther 4, it says this. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews." Esther is caught in a juxtaposition. She's in the palace, and yet there's people that want to kill her people. Take out her whole nation. Yet she's queen. Beautiful but broken situation. And so we have this group of people that are like, we want to take out all the Jews. And Esther is the person that has to decide, what will I do in this contradiction? What will I do? Truth and dare. For if you remain completely silent this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. For such a time as this. One of the most famous phrases in the Bible, quoted in many plaques at Qumran. But the question is do we take it seriously, or do we think that was just for Esther? Maybe you're here for such a time as this, and you're being challenged in this juxtaposition, saying, I know I have a certain level of power, but what's out there scares me. That what God's actually asking me to do doesn't make me feel comfortable. Yeah. But remember, in SCF, it gets deeper the further east you go. So let's keep reading. Let's go to the next slide. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day, my maids, and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. What's this? It's against the law for her to just turn up to the king. And this is what she says, and if I perish, I perish. You know she's young. And yet she was so compelled by something, because she could have lived blessed and watched the world get broken. But she said, if I perish, I perish. Because a broken world out there, but a blessed life in here, does not fulfill anything in God's assignment for us. Have you ever been? I know I've gone through journeys where I've been so blessed, but I've been bored. And I am one of those people that looks for things to do. Because you can be blessed and everything's working out, and yet there's something in you that just keeps turning and gets clunky. And you go, God, you're blessing me. And yet there's these problems in the world that you keep seeing, and you know you could remain comfortable financially, family-wise, geographically, socially. You can remain comfortable, but there's something pulling you out there. And if I perish, I perish. Let's go to the next slide over. A short life lived with purpose is more powerful than a long life lived in fear. Now that is grating, because I pray everybody in this room has a long and healthy and whole life. Have a long life, be blessed of the Lord, but do it with purpose. Because I would have to say, for us walking into seasons where we're called to reach and go beyond our walls, is I would rather live a shorter life lived with purpose than a long life lived in fear. Let's go to the next slide. So here we find the continuation of the story. The king was sitting on his royal throne facing the main entrance of the palace when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court. She was just standing in the court. She wasn't bowing in the court. Because here's the thing. With Esther, she stood in the court for the king that stood before her, because she only ever bowed to the king that was above her. And so she could find favor in his sight because she knew who her real king was. So she stood in the court, and I wonder, she was just as human as you or I. And I wonder if she, while she was standing in the court going, and if I perish, I perish. She was breaking the law to talk to the king. And yet she said, if I perish, I perish, because I might be blessed, but the world is broken and I need to do something about it. Yeah. She found favor in his sight. And the king extended to her the golden scepter which was in his hand. Let's go to the next slide. Is walking in your calling is an intentional act of courage, not a stumbled upon accident. You don't accidentally find your calling, by the way. You can't. You can even accidentally find a gift on your life, but you can't accidentally find your calling, because your calling is an act of courage, not, oh, wow, look, I'm in my calling and I didn't even realize it. Okay, for instance, you can find your gift in church, you can find roles in churches by just being here enough. Just turn up early, you'll get a job. I want to be in church leadership. Awesome. Just turn up and stay consistent long enough. So you can find gifts. You can even find jobs on accident. But you can't find your calling by accident. Your calling is an intentional act of courage that says, I know I am called to step out here. And when I stand here in the court where I don't feel comfortable, I know that this is where God unlocks my actual purpose. Let's go to the next slide over. So now we come back to John 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. That feast that they were celebrating was called Purim, and that feast, Purim, was the very feast that they used to celebrate Esther. Yeah. They celebrated. What did Esther do? Deliverance, salvation for all her people. She found favor in the king's sight. Then she tells him of all the things that are going on behind his back about killing the people and all of this other stuff. And then it turns, right? So this is a story. Esther's story is a miracle story. It's a story of salvation. It's a story of deliverance. It's a story of relationship with God that can turn things around from broken to blessed. And now they're celebrating it all these years later at a feast. And Jesus is at the feast celebrating what? Deliverance, salvation, miracles, boldness, authority. They're celebrating all these things. And yet Jesus leaves that feast, walks and says this. He goes through the sheep gate. And then he goes to this multitude of sick people. So he leaves the feast that is celebrating deliverance, salvation, the miraculous, boldness, authority. He leaves the party that celebrates deliverance, walks to what they call a sheep gate. And then Jesus would say in John 10, verse 7, I am the gate that the sheep walk through. Yeah. Right? So he walks through. And he finds all these sick people, almost saying to us, you can celebrate deliverance and the miraculous and the salvation, but unless you actually leave the party and walk through the sheep gate and you take it to all the brokenness that are just over the fence, we can be delivered, but are we a deliverer? And so here we have Jesus leaving, right? And it says there was a man there for 38 years. That's 2 years short of what they would consider a generation. So there is a man, 38 years, a generation has been sitting on the other side of the fence, lame, broken, could not get whole. And until someone was willing to leave the party and take the party through the sheep gate, over the fence, that's when a generation gets set free. So here we have the story. It goes like this. Let's go to the next slide. He'd been sick for a long time. And then Jesus said to him, do you want to be made well? Isn't that an intriguing question? What do you want? And that is really something when we go over the fence, through the sheep gate, we have to ask, what do you want? They don't know what they want. Do you want to be made well? We've got to be bold enough to ask the question, do you want to be made well? Then it says this, the sick man answers, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool. He doesn't even answer the question. He just said, I don't have anyone. Can I just tell you that the world out there is broken and lonely? It's our community. One of the biggest pandemics beyond COVID was loneliness anyway. So there are people that are surrounded by people but are lonely. I have no one to bring wholeness to my life. And then Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. So often we can love the idea that we're delivered, that we're saved, that we see the miraculous. It should be normal. A supernatural lifestyle is normal for us. However, if we get so stuck being in the party that we forget we've got to leave through the sheep gate to take brokenness, sorry, to heal brokenness on the other side, we actually don't fulfill the very purpose of why we're celebrating in the first place. So we can celebrate so much healing, but make sure you take it to the other side of the fence. Does it smell a bit? Yeah, probably. But take it anyway. Is it awkward? Yes, but take it anyway. Can I just, I just want to be really honest with you, that it is way easier for me as a third generation Christian kid to only stay in Christian circles and preach on Sundays and stay within Christian kingdom business environments, even as a consultant and a leadership advisor. So much easier because I don't have to work so hard to translate good principles. I don't get sworn at. Awesome. Oh, it doesn't matter. But, you know, it depends. Depends on how nice they are as Christians. But you got to understand, there was a choice to be made when I was blessed and bored. I said, God, am I really making a difference? Because I live here all the time. And I remember going to the first meeting in a secular environment as an advisor, and it was so awkward. Because I couldn't use language. I had all the tools. I had all the knowledge. I had everything that could help them. But I couldn't quote the Bible scripture and verse. That's difficult. If you're only used to that. But did the environment smell a little bit? Yeah. Because I watched and how they interacted and how they spoke to each other. The culture wasn't kingdom. But if I don't walk from here through to there, how will they ever know? And we've all got our different places of influence we're called to, but can I just really, really encourage you? The grace of God, the presence of God goes deeper when you walk out there. Let's go to the next slide over. Jesus wants to take the party beyond the boundaries, and we're the ones holding the invitations. They're not just going to turn up. They're not allowed. In essence, back then, they weren't allowed to like just turn up. Someone had to go and get them. Just like the prodigal son had to be greeted by his father outside of the city because he wasn't allowed all the way back in. And sometimes it's easier for us to go out there, show them the grace and love and peace and the miraculous power of God and bring them in together rather than them coming to the door going, am I allowed in? You ever have that relative that says, if I walked into a church, the roof would cave in? And it's like, you're not that bad. You think you're bad. You're not that bad. Let's go to the next slide over. Have we celebrated our deliverance without being compelled toward our calling? You know, we can procrastinate a lot when we're blessed. But I'll tell you this now, procrastination is the place where dreams go to die. And we stay busy. You ever stay blessed and busy, but not actually fulfilled what God asked you to do? Anyone else, the to-do list person that loves their to-do list, and then you so love your to-do list that the jobs that weren't on your to-do list, but you did them that day, you go and write them and then scratch them out just for fulfillment? I did something that day. Let's go to the next slide. I just want to end with this, Matthew 25. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Let's keep reading. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. In essence, there is this separation of sheep and goats. And very often we can be obsessed with, am I sheep if you've ever read this and been struck with fear, going, have I done, what, is there enough of what, can I just be really encouraging right now? It's really easy to be a sheep if you walk through the sheep gate. You don't even have to think about it. You don't have to worry, am I a sheep, am I a goat? Maybe no one's ever worried if they're a sheep or a goat, but I have. Am I a sheep? Where am I going to be? What am I going to? Can I just be really encouraging? If we walk through the sheep gate, we become sheep anyway. So if we outwork the deliverance that we get to celebrate out in the world that needs it, we become sheep anyway. Let's go to the next slide over as I bring it to a close. So who do you feel called to reach and to raise? Remember, he had to reach out to the broken man in a very broken environment, in a contradiction of what was beautiful. And yet he was right there to reach down to a generation, a symbol of a generation that had no mobility. This is something I think maybe we can capture together as a church. Is there is a generation looking for somebody to give them movement and change and a future. They have no legs to that work, that are working in the spirit. They have to stand up and move and leap and praise the Lord. Why do you feel called to reach them? You've got to ask yourself, why do I feel called to this group of people? Can I just, again, encourage you? Ask the Holy Spirit, show me who I'm called to reach and why am I called to reach them? Another great question to ask yourselves in reflection is, what will happen in their life if I do reach them? What's the difference in their life if I'm in their world? What is your sheep gate for 2023? Come on, let's ask the hard questions this morning. What is your sheep gate? For me, it was the marketplace. And it can be brutal, but that was okay because that was my sheep gate and I could identify, God, you are asking me to walk from here. I still get to celebrate my deliverance every day. Every Sunday, I still get to do that. But what's my sheep gate? God, where are you calling me out? Just like Esther had to make the decision to go from the palace and walk through her journey to stand in the courtyard. What's your sheep gate? In essence, Jesus was saying to them and to everyone, you celebrate. Esther risked her life for what you're celebrating. And now all you do is celebrate it and do nothing with it. If I perish, I perish. There are fathers of the faith, mothers of the faith. There is a history even in this city where they risked their own and sacrificed their finances, sacrificed their health, sacrificed their family. I'm sure there was so much sacrifice that allows us to sit in this room today. I don't want to just celebrate the fact that we're so blessed without reaching the community they were actually willing to sacrifice for. And then how can you restore hope and a future to a generation waiting for you to go beyond the boundaries? Because we have been delivered. We do live in the miraculous. We do have access to the supernatural. We do have access to community. And now we then get to decide, are we confident, bold enough, courageous enough, daring enough, because we know the truth, to walk through the sheep gate and bring healing, wholeness, and restoration to the other side of the fence. Would you stand up to your feet and let me pray for you this morning? I hope that that has given you a stirring in your spirit to say, I have a gift to take to the world. God, what are you asking me to do? Would you close your eyes? And I'm just going to pray right now and declare over you right now that this is going to be an era and a season of time where we reach the community in ways we've never reached it before. Father, right now we come before you and we thank you that we can celebrate our deliverance. We can celebrate the miraculous. We can celebrate all that you've done and what you're doing for us. But we ask you right now to stir us up on the inside with a flame and a fire. Just fan that flame, Father. Make us so hungry for the Spirit of God that it moves us from our comfort zone to our calling. that it moves us from where we can celebrate our deliverance and we walk through the sheep gate and see our destiny unfold in front of us. I thank you, God, that you're calling us to specific groups of people that are broken and that need you, that live in a constant contradiction of pain, but they might even be rich, but they're still broken. God, we thank you for the down and outers and the up and outers. God, we pray though, Lord, that you use us to leave the party where we can celebrate and we step into everything that you've got for us. May your truth make us daring. And may we have the boldness of Esther to stand in the court and say, if I perish, I perish. If my reputation perishes, then so be it. If I'm embarrassed out in the marketplace, well then so be it, because I'm standing for the kingdom and I'm called to reach the community. So Lord, I pray for a fresh fire right now. Lord, that we would flow out of that sheep gate in droves and reach the community and the highways and the byways and the streets and the businesses and the broken and every kind of household that there is in this region. May education be unlocked. May government be unlocked. May marketplace blessing be unlocked. May streams of income be unlocked. Because we were willing to leave the sheep gate, leave the party, walk through the sheep gate and bless the world around us, giving them legs to stand up in all the fullness that God has for them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.